Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. My name is Tanura, and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Today, I am joined by a very good friend of mine, and an enthusiast in an area where a lot of you guys may be interested, maybe not. So his name is Rafir. Thank you so much for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me.
So do you mind just giving a quick introduction about yourself?
So my name is Rafir. I'm currently just in the final stages of my master's from Middlesex. And I am, like Ithanura said, a big, like, avid collector and photographer and interested in this whole movies and pop culture community.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the pop culture community, especially in a country like the UAE, can go to, like, 20 different levels depending on your excitement.
Yes.
So that's what we're here to talk about. So firstly, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm surprised this is my first time at Emirates Flowers.
Fair play. And just need to double check. We probably can't touch on the topic yet, but have you seen Volume 3?
I went for the premiere of Volume 3, and I will say, like, there are scenes in the movie where you sit in the theater and you're, like, sitting like this because it's so sad.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, like, listen, whoever's listening, if you guys haven't seen Volume 3, and go, just try and find a way and watch it, whether it's pirated, whether it's on whether it's on the big screen, gotta watch it, must watch. All right, so let's head straight.
Yeah, I should say, the embargo for spoilers is 1 week. So if you haven't watched the movie a week after the release, then it's not our fault if we share exactly. Spoilers right now.
Technically, as of today, when we're recording on the 10th of May, there's one more day to go. There's technically one more day to go.
Yeah, I mean, I watched on the premiere, so technically, I watched.
Oh, you can start already.
I watched it 2 days before the actual release.
So you can actually already. You've already started attacking the. Okay, fine. Well, let's not do it yet. In my case, it's one more day. All right. First thing I want to ask is the pop culture in the UAE. UAE is a very diverse, you know, country, over 200 different nationalities, hundreds of thousands of different cities people are from, and pop culture can come in various ways, whether it's, you know, the standard stuff, the comics and the books, but can also come culturally and traditionally. So what do you think the importance of pop culture has been in a country like the UAE?
I think UAE, because it's one of the most, like, ethnically diverse countries in the world, you have people from every nationality living here, and you have every nationality has their own pop culture as well and has their own things as well. So you come in, you meet people, like, for example, at Comic-Con, I met someone from, where was it? I think he was from Vietnam. And he was talking about, like, Vietnamese comics. You know, it's not going to be as big as the Western world, but still, I was like, damn. So, you know, they have that there as well. So it's a very big melting pot. Obviously, the bigger, the more popular ones are more prevalent, but you have a lot of, like, pop culture, and you have a lot of different nationalities that have their own pop culture and have their own likes and dislikes that bring it here.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that, because, you know, when we think about pop culture or comics, let's be realistic, we go to things like, if we're talking from a Western side, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, Indiana Jones, those type of things. And then if we want to talk a little bit more culturally, it's going to be just like Japan or Korea with anime, for example. But then, I actually have a new Vietnam made comics like that, like custom comics.
Yeah, I have a friend who just recently started his own, like, small comic book store. He's selling books which are, so in the, well, this would have been, I think, the 80s, late 70s to early 90s. In Egypt and Lebanon, they had Arabic translations of all the DC comics. They had literally, like, he's selling it right now. It's a Batman comic, and it's titled like Rajul al-Watwat, which is just the Arabic translation for Batman. And it's the entire book is just translated in Arabic.
That's actually kind of cool. A full translation book's like, wow, I actually don't know how to respond to that. Yeah. So obviously, with there being the translation of books and, you know, the culture of it, let's be realistic, like you are a collector of all these things. There is definitely, let's be realistic, the fan and the market idea of it. Now, I'm not as much of a collector of it, but I know that if there's a rare comic, there will be a fight or like a battle for it.
Yeah, you have, if you go on eBay and you just search any major character that you can think of from the MCU, DC, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, all of their books, even in the condition where if you touch the book and it will turn to dust, will go for 5-6 figures.
Even higher in certain cases. Like, I think the first issue Superman 1
Recently, I think it was this year only in Feb, 9.6 graded Action Comics 1 or Superman 1 sold for $3.2 million.
Wow. And this that's almost equivalent to like a nice house in like District 1 here in Dubai.
Exactly.
So do you think that there is an importance for like pop culture to have that sort of a market, if there's an importance for such a situation to happen?
I think it's now, because of the movies and the Marvel and DC universes, it's become a bit inflated. So if like, because you know, I'm into it, like, if you go back in the 90s, first appearance of Spider-Man, Amazing Fantasy number 15. Back in the 90s, you could find that for like a few thousand dollars, like, you know, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000.
And that would be considered like what? What would that be considered in today?
So like $2,000 in the 90s would be what? $6,000-$7,000 now, and you will not find an Amazing Fantasy that cheap anywhere in the world.
That probably for first issue Spider-Man is one of the most popular characters in.
Yeah, like it is a known fact that the Spider-Man name and brand is worth more than Superman, Batman, Captain America, and I think Iron Man combined.
Holy.
The brand value of just Spider-Man himself.
Just the
alone.
Name Spider-Man can bring it. Damn. Okay, so now that's obviously a side of what pop culture has become to now. Now, you obviously, being the pop culture enthusiast you are, you've probably had this, like, when was your first experience with what you would consider pop culture in your life?
So for me, it was, I think, okay, originally it would be when I was a kid and you watched the Justice League and the Batman animated series. It's still probably the best depiction of Batman ever. You start watching that, you're like, oh wow, this stuff is cool. And then I think the first comic book I ever read was in 2011 or 2012 after Avengers came out. And I was like, I want to really get into comics. And I read Flashpoint.
Of course.
And so, like, since then, I was like, started getting into it, and like, now Flash is my favorite character. And yeah, and most recently it was, I guess you could say, the swap meet that happened in Outlet Mall last weekend, and currently the Sharjah Children's Book Festival, which is not as big because that's
for children. More children, yeah, but there's still a culture there.
Yeah, there's still a culture there.
I like that you brought up the book festival, because, you know, a lot of people, especially like, whether it's children or students, if it's university, high school, whatever, everyone kind of, there is, let's be realistic, the stigma around pop culture, comic culture being just for kids.
Yeah.
There's that idea of it. But then when you go for major like events here, whether it's Comic-Con, StarsCon, a swap meet, and for those that are watching, swap meet is kind of like a comic swap
meet. Swap meet is kind of like I would say it's similar to like Ripe Market for this community, because all you have is like small businesses, small privately owned individual businesses that come in. Most of them are online, so it's a platform for them to actually showcase and sell something, because I think that's for everything online. It's not the same as if you're holding the thing in your hand and you don't know what you're buying.
All right. Yeah, okay, I see it. So yeah, like that. So obviously Comic-Con, StarCon, then there's a swap meet. And then, you know, when you go for these events, you realize like, oh, this is not like just 9 to 12-year-olds that watch, you know, the animated Batman animated series. These are like people in their probably 20s, 30s, even a bunch of 18 to 20-year-olds, right? Mm-hmm. That are all that. They may be a university student, graduate, some. I met, this is for me, like when I was in Comic-Con, I met a guy that's doing his doctorate in astrophysics, and he dressed up as Mr. Freeze. That was probably
I think I saw this guy.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, I saw him there as well.
So yeah, you've got obviously, some people are influenced by by pop culture for their future life as well. So what do you say to like people that think the stigma of pop culture, comic culture is just for kids?
I think it's because one of the most famous things in pop culture right now that makes it is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm. That's like $25 billion worth of movies there. And those are all very, you know, because Marvel has to make them, they're generally rated for kids, and you watch those, and that's the main advent, like, oh, so this is what this is about. And you feel like, okay, it's for kids. And even because of the actual book medium, even the more graphic and the more adult-rated comic books, they're still not, you know,
that graphic and not bad. Like that gravity of adult in a way, right?
Yeah, but you have, for example,
I think for my think, right now, the
for
most
example,
famous
like The Boys, everyone loves the TV show. But when you read, I last year read the first, I guess, first volume of The Boys comics. It is an extremely very graphic, both in terms of violence and blood, and also nudity, which I didn't expect in the book.
So what, it's not like, you're saying like, are you saying that the TV show Boys underplays the gravity
some
of the comics?
There, yeah, some parts it does. No. Yeah, some parts it really does.
Wow, so there is the market there for sure, but it's just that people just don't look into it in a way.
Yeah, even for in the MCU, in 2019, Endgame, there's an original concept art for Endgame in there towards the end when they all come back and Thanos attacks the Avengers headquarters. The original concept art of that is Thanos sitting on a throne of skulls holding Captain America's like entire skull in his hand.
Whoa.
His helmet on. That is an actual concept art from Marvel themselves. But of course you can make that because it still has to be a PG-13 movie.
That probably comes down to like the creators of the films and the shows of it just trying to cater to everyone in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Making it accessible so that everyone can watch it.
Then you have more adult, like you have Deadpool.
Those are the most famous, like, yeah. Higher adult or adult focused based.
Adult focused, because those are also extremely.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember Deadpool was the first movie I like 18 plus movie I watched in the cinema after turning 18. I seeing that I'm like, oh my god, and I'm sure because of it's, you know, it was Dubai. I'm sure it was censored here as well, but still you're like, oh my god.
But there's still you don't expect that when you watch like probably that came out in 2016, right? The first Deadpool film.
Yeah, 2016.
So when you watch everything like 2015 and before, when you think of superhero films, you think of like Age of Ultron, even the Batman trilogy, the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and then you watch Deadpool. You didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that having that, obviously, with the diversity of, you know, entertainment now with pop culture, it obviously also boils down to friendship. I want to talk a bit about friendship, making friends and relationships with it, because especially living in the UAE, especially university life. You've gone through university.
Yeah.
I think what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
With your undergraduate and your master's.
Yeah, so I started in 2015.
So yeah, you've done the undergrad, you got the master's in, and you've probably seen you've not only seen the transition of university, but also entertainment, the entertainment sector in the UAE. So what I want to ask is, being a person that is in love or ingrained with pop culture, with comic culture, and living and studying in the UAE, what was it like, you know, interacting with people in university, whether they're living in the UAE, they're coming in from abroad and talking about the topic of comics, for example?
I'll be honest, I started university 2015 in foundation. The first person I met who even knew what comic books were was in my final year in 2019, in my third year of university, when like I had a friend of mine. I had a friend of mine who I met when I joined, and it was just the two of us that actually even knew what a comic book was. And then in 2019, I met another friend of mine, and I saw him coming back from, I was in dropping a friend off at the old dorms in Barsha, and he had a bag from Kinokuniya, and he had a Deadpool comic book in it. I'm like, oh, you like comic books.
So that's kind of kicked it off.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
That's where I started making the friends. And then I started then, and I worked at a comic book shop, and I made a lot of friends there. We're still friends now. We still talk about comics. We go for the movies, and you know, a lot of us, be it my friends that know the comics and know the history of it, we go watching the movie specifically thinking about it from the characters. Like for example, in Guardians of the Galaxy, they introduce Adam Warlock, and I'm quite sure that at least 80% of the theater for the premiere had no idea who he was.
I'm pretty sure everyone just knew him from like the actor's face.
Yeah, exactly, and. I'm sure most of those people didn't watch the post credits of Guardians 2.
Also, heads up, two post credit scenes in Volume 3, so get ready, guys. But no, that actually, you know, I understand that. I completely get your opinion, because even when I joined like university, this was back in 2020, there were more people that knew stuff like about probably, you know, things in like law, politics compared to something in pop culture, because if you also think about it from a different viewpoint, you'd assume people in university, even like if they're younger than 20 years old, to know more about pop culture and comics compared to something like what's going on in a country probably 3,000 kilometers away from here.
Yeah.
And then it's most of the time the complete opposite now. Do you think that with how everything has gone in terms of society, that pop culture is losing its importance? Because in my opinion, I feel like pop culture has to be an importance in life sometimes. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's reduced in importance, or it's starting to grow again?
No, I think it's starting to grow again, because like, and that's a lot of it comes down, thankfully, to the MCU. It has really brought a lot of it back. So normally what would happen, all the stories that have been told in the MCU so far have come from comic books. The Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity Saga is a, I think, is a 12-part or 15-part comic series from the 80s, yeah, or I think the 90s.
They recently refurbished it as well.
It's not the exact same, but it's inspired by that. So now you used to have that. Even now, still, the Flash movie is coming out. It's quite literally Flashpoint.
It's almost exactly
a copy of Flashpoint. And now you have movies influencing the comic books going the other way around. And you have you have brand new characters that are coming into comics that have, or movies that are, you know, around the same time now in this Miss Marvel, in the Marvels. I think they announced in the trailer there's a character who just made her comic book appearance this year. I think it's Carol Danvers' sister or something. I don't remember.
No, so, I think it's Monica Rambeau's one as well.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau's or something. Some character like that just recently came in. So you have both of them growing each other. And I think
there's like, in one side, it started off as being influenced, and now it's influencing the other.
Yeah, exactly. So you have more, it's growing like that, because then you'll have, because both sides, you have people that watch the movies that don't like the comics. And I know a lot of people as well that like the comics that don't like the movies, because they're like, it's different. Why did they change this? It shouldn't be like this. So you have a lot of this happening. And it's not only that, it's also the, for example, it's also even in the TV shows, even like the Flash TV show. So because it started in 2014, it followed what was happening in the 2014 in the Flash comic books.
Yeah.
So like that started with the New 52, and that's why you have like a different version of Flash.
People that have grown up with the original comics, that you could say like from the 80s and 90s of Flash, they didn't really understand it. But then people like me, like when I watched the Flash, and then probably the Flash is what got me into comic books in the first place. The first comics I started reading was the New 52 era. That was the recentest thing.
So different from what happened before and what happened after that.
Exactly. So, talking about difference, right? If there's one thing comic culture has, it's the difference in universes and difference of like storylines. Like obviously, perfect example would be like, if I take Batman for example, 60s and 70s Batman is a darker version. You come to probably the early, like the New 52, it's probably a lighter version. But then you look at other series, you got Arkham series, the Heir to the Cowl, no, Battle of the Cowl, sorry. And it just changes based on, you know, perception and the different characters. And then when we look at life, especially living and reading these comics, right? If you look across the board, a lot of people, especially if you go for like these type of events, whether you're a student, whether you're an adult, you see them imagining or trying to replicate those type of comics. Like I remember Halloween recently, I had, you know, like for example, some of my older friends, recent graduate students, they'd come in wearing, I don't know if, this is probably a very niche Batman, but Joker Batman, you know, the full Ravaged Joker with like the death outfit. The Batman Who Laughs, exactly. So that's probably a comic that was released, what?
Batman Who Laughs came out 2017, I think.
So that was a newer one. But then I had another friend who was younger than me. He's probably like 17 years old right now. But he was so ingrained in the comics since like he was like 8 years old. And instead of coming in like something standard for like the New 52, he came in with Detective Batman.
Ooh, which is
still
so good.
Which is still a very, in my opinion, a new comic, but not many people know about it. It's probably like, unless you're a diehard comic book reader, you'd find something niche like that. So how do you think, do you think that it is what captures a person into creating a real life comic character, right? Like cosplaying, that's the word I was trying to figure out.
Cosplaying
them. Do you think it's based on rather what whether they're avid comic book reader, or it's more based on what resonates with them more?
Well, I think it's like for your friend who did, if you see Detective Batman, Batman has for the last 80 years, he's changed, but he is supposed to be a detective. Mm-hmm. If you read 40s, 50s, 60s, up until the mid 80s, it's very goofy Batman, and because at that point it was intended entirely for children.
Yeah.
So even if you watch the Adam West Batman series, it's so funny and childish and goofy. That's what it was intentionally made for kids. Batman, what the Batman that we know now started in like the 80s with the, I guess it would probably be like Neil Adams. He took over anyway. He made Batman a more serious character. And then you had Death in the Family and Killing Joke, which are two of his most famous Batman stories. And those are extremely like, you know, dark and extremely like adult stories.
Yeah.
If you read like the Death in the Family, when Jason Todd died, in the second last issue of the book, at the end of the last page had a phone number where you could call DC and tell them whether you wanted them to kill off Jason Todd or not. And then
that was interactive.
Yeah.
Of them.
So I don't remember if it was like a mail-in receipt or if it was a call that you physically phone a number and you tell them that, you know, we want you to kill off Jason Todd. And apparently so many people wanted it. And the comic book shows him, the Joker, so bludgeoning him with a
crowbar. There is the involvement of the general public as well. It's similar to like when you said about the movies and the comics. One influences one, and then after years, the switch comes in, and it's all helping each other.
Like you have that, and you have Killing Joke as well, which is an extremely violent book. And there's so all of these you can have. There's so many different versions of every single character that you can cosplay, and it's not necessarily that people do it because of the comics. Most people, at least from my experience, that cosplayer because they connect with the character. Like I have a friend, Asad. He's one of the most popular, one of well-known cosplayers in the UAE, Middle East probably. And he is not as avid a big comic book reader as I am, but he's cosplayed all the Batman villains, Flash, all the Flash villains. He's done at Comic-Con,
So in a way, it also boils down to just what interests you in terms of the spectacle of it as well.
Yeah, like for example, me, if I ever wanted to cosplay, I would do Darth Vader, because he's probably my all-time favorite character.
I'm pretty sure you met him as well during Comic-Con.
Yeah, I met Hayden Christensen at Comic-Con. That was like a childhood dream come true.
Fair play.
Like, it's all about what resonates as a character. And because I think most people that cosplay, that do it based on movie or TV show, live action adaptations, it's easier to tell what the character looks like in a movie. Like if you watch there was a guy, I don't know if you met him at Comic-Con, he was wearing the Batman, Pattinson Batman costume. And it was so detailed. Like, you wouldn't be able to get that level of detail looking through a comic book, because obviously like the artwork is not going to match if you're
wearing
a full IMAX camera. But I think it's mostly what resonates to people as the character. You can read the books for the stories, but
and sometimes you can create it yourself as well.
Yeah,
I think that is one of
the requirements for most cosplay contests, is that at least what it was for MEFCC, but for us at StarsCon, I think it was at least half the costume has to be handmade by yourself.
And I think that also resonates with a lot of students nowadays, because if you look at entertainment or even just any general idea of, you know, culture in the UAE or in university especially, there's always something unique about what someone creates with their work, whether you're a graphic designer, whether you're a fashion student as well, right? Like, they would take inspiration from some of the craziest places of all time. Like, one person might have inspiration from a football club, another person might be from a comic book, but then they created in a design that resembles their personality as well. So, especially in university, for students when they come in, do you feel like there's, even if they like, even if they, in their opinion, move past their era of pop comics and pop culture, do you think that there's always going to be something that if they were ever ingrained into the culture that will represent them for their personality?
Look, this has existed, this culture, comic books have existed for over 100 years, and the superhero comics have existed since 1938. So
I think the best example would be the Middle East, right? For example, they all have different different background, different cultures and traditions, but they all have also one thing that they connect to, which is in similarity. It could be religion, for example. If we take comics as well, it's the same thing. So Black Cat and Catwoman, they're very similar in terms of characteristics, but then the storyline and how they're merged in differentiates, because at the same time, different comic creations, different people, they have different, what do you call it, tradition and culture that they try to ingrain. Let's be very realistic. There's probably the Marvel culture is probably very different to the DC culture. Definitely, it's just a coincidence that certain things are similar, which also boils down to being, in a way, it also boils down to people's personalities as well. Like, let's be realistic. You're from Pakistan. I'm from Sri Lanka. Two different sides of the world, definitely, but there's still obviously going to be a few things that people still connect over. There's the religious aspect, there's the social aspect, and that also boils down to comics as well.
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, it's become so international. People, it's brought a lot of people together. Like, everyone loves, like, you see people waiting in line for when Marvel announces a new movie. Like, if you remember for Endgame, people were lining up outside the cinema around the world, not only just in the US.
Yeah.
Even here, there were people lining up in the cinema to go watch the movie.
Even it got to a point where a lot of websites, like, I think it was Roxy Cinemas here, the site just crashed.
Yeah, I remember the Roxy and Vox both crashed because people wanted to get tickets for Endgame. And even me, my friends, you know, I'm here in Pakistan. A friend of mine who got me to this, he's Indian. I saw, like, just on some, scrolling through Instagram, someone I follow posted a story that he bought the tickets for Endgame. I went onto Vox Cinema app, opened, I bought two tickets. Then I called him, like, yo, I bought two tickets, keep yourself free. I'm like, okay, can you get another one? I got another one. So me, Pakistani, a friend who's Indian, and another friend who's Arab, I forgot where he's from. We went for Endgame together.
That's probably, like, the best form of, like, culture clash, culture respect as well. But yeah, so with that being said, sorry if this is ending abruptly, but we're just running out of time. So before we close, I do want to ask Rafe, right now, in your opinion, three things that come to your mind that perfectly define the entertainment and comic culture. Go.
I think it's characters, relatability to characters, just the vast number of characters and stories that exist, and the vast number of countries that make this, because we haven't even talked about anime, and like that's a whole other side of the world, and people love anime. If you go to a convention, it's like 60-70% of the people there are
now
there
is
as anime.
I mean, my favorite one's Bakugan. I'm just rewatching it right now.
I haven't watched much, but like my favorite anime is Death Note. I watch that like at least like once a year.
Exactly. But yeah, so with that being said, that is the end of this episode. Rafe, thank you so much for coming in. I hope you enjoyed your time here.
Yes, I did.
And for anyone else watching, you guys can definitely check out Rafe's Instagram, back on our Instagram handle, at Students Era. Check out his photography account as well, which is, I think, ARNDXB Photos.
Yes.
Yes. So with that being said, my name is Tanura, and I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode of the Students Era podcast. Thank you, and have a great day or evening ahead.
Goodbye. Have a good day.